You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Chester County Community Foundation. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, Jim Dugan, Newmark Knight Frank, Peter Snelling, Merrill Lynch, Ethan Milrod, GoTo, Al Danish, Doyle Alliance Group, Beth Harper, Brilia, Chester County Community Foundation, and Christy Miles, CI Squared. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. Peter, will you please give us the rundown?
Sure, Herb. I want to first thank Beth Harper Brilia on behalf of Karen Simmons at the Chester County Community Foundation. And our guests today are Malcolm John Stone, Executive Director of the Westchester Business Improvement District, Bob Rigg, Chairman and CEO, Rigg Darlington Group, Michael DeHaven, shareholder, Rainer & Company, and Kim Cunningham, co-founder of Skidgetal.
Excellent. Let's get to know our first guest, Malcolm Johnstone, Executive Director of the Westchester Business Improvement District. Malcolm, what is the Westchester Business Improvement District?
It is a resource agency for the downtown stakeholders. That would be the business owners and the property owners.
Uh-huh. Where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Santa Barbara, California.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters?
I'm number three out of four. I have two older sisters and a younger brother.
Right. And I understand, it tells us 8 to 14 years old, you were really into guitar. Am I correct about that?
You are correct.
Uh-huh. What got you into guitar and why guitar?
I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, and I had to do that.
Mm-hmm. So I understand that you were pretty serious about guitar. You took some serious lessons. You were going to the conservatory. Am I correct about that?
I did. I went to the San Francisco Conservatory of Music.
Uh-huh. And I'm wondering if there's any connection between playing the guitar and what you're doing nowadays at the Westchester Business Improvement District.
You know, guitar provides an opportunity to become a teacher and to help people learn how to express themselves, learn how to be successful on an instrument, in this case, a guitar. Same thing here in downtown. Not very many guitar players compared to what I came from, but certainly there are very passionate business owners, and we assist them in making their business as successful as possible.
So the same way you were involved with then helping teach guitar, it's what you're doing with these businesses that are in the Westchester areas. You're helping them understand best practices, share amongst themselves. And if I remember correctly, you actually mentioned that you think there's a variety of different ways to learn how to play the guitar and a lot of different ways to play the guitar. It's the same way there's a lot of different ways to run a business. And you're helping share the best practices amongst everybody, aren't you?
Absolutely. We want people to understand the best practices without giving up any of the expressive parts that their businesses will give to them. Every business has to be unique. It has to provide the customer with a unique experience, and yet they still need to balance their books and bring home a paycheck.
Christine?
Ethan, you had mentioned in the green room, you had asked a question about mentorship. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that with Malcolm and help us understand that more.
Sure, Malcolm. You had mentioned earlier you had several mentors when you learned how to play guitar, but one special in particular. Can you tell us a little bit about that mentor and how that person had an effect on you?
My first guitar teacher was Grove Becker. I wanted to become a rock and roller, but he was a classical guitarist, and he knew that I would not have the patience to learn music in a traditional way. He taught me everything by rote. By the time I became an older teenager, I was learning how to read music and applying that, which got me into a conservatory of music. But it taught me that, as you said, there are many different ways that a person can approach this. And what I've learned is that with a little bit of patience and a lot of study, anybody can be successful in what they
Peter?
Want to do.
So, Malcolm, you learned from Grove Becker, and you learned how to teach as well, and you taught guitar. Then you had some business experiences where you started businesses, and are you now today teaching people how to start businesses or?
That's right. In Oregon, I had a bookstore. I had a sandwich shop. I've managed restaurants. Here in Westchester, my wife ran a tea room right in the downtown and at the building that we are here. Mm-hmm. And that has given me the inside scoop mm-hmm. of what it takes to be
Malcolm,
a successful
small entrepreneur. You were the third of four kids growing up in Santa Barbara, California. What was your role in the family?
My sisters were quite a bit older than me, and so I became an uncle. uncle to their children, and I felt like a family member that could help young people become part of the family as they grew.
So your nature is just to keep bringing everybody together to understand people individually. You know, you were the uncle with the family. It sounds like that's, again, what you're doing with the business. That personality trait sounds like it's really meaningful to you to help understand who people, who businesses are, and to help them be successful.
I was passing it along. My uncles were very, very supportive of me as a child. I had an uncle who bought me my first good guitar. And so I felt like whatever I could pass on to my nieces, in this case, would be something essential to their lives.
Other businesses. Beth?
Malcolm, you're a history buff. Why does the Westchester Business Improvement District appeal to you?
Westchester Borough has some 4,200 structures that are listed on the National Register of Historic Places. It's hard to imagine a more historic setting than what Westchester has to offer, and particularly with the Chester County Community Foundation, which has perhaps the most historic structure in Westchester.
Jim?
With its relationship to Abraham Lincoln.
Malcolm? Tell us more about your mother.
My mom was a musician. She was given a piano as a child in the Depression, and she strongly felt that all of her kids should have a musical background. And my brother, who's a little younger than me, now runs a music school in Hawaii. So music has been a huge part of our family.
Mm-hmm. Christine?
So what does music bring to a family that does, you said you grew up middle class. What does it bring when you don't have wealth? What does it fill the home with?
I was doing a lot of gigs for about 10 years, and I got to meet people of all walks of life and got to support all kinds of events with my musical talents.
So what does different businesses bring to, when you walk down Gay Street in Westchester, what do the individual creativity bring to the community?
Each one of the businesses that I see at the storefronts is an expression of what the owner brings to it. And it's our job to help communicate to the world how special our downtown is, and more importantly, how special the businesses are.
Malcolm, you back in the green room, you talked quite excitedly about your transition from Santa Barbara, all the way to downtown Westchester. What does the Westchester area mean to you personally?
To me, this is Americana. It's the center of the culture of America. It has a 300-year-old history, and each brick that we see here in the downtown has a story to tell. And I take a great deal of joy in doing research on the buildings and the people who made our community what it is today.
Malcolm, you seem to really revel in the richness of small towns, you know, versus big shopping malls. Tell us what the spirit of a small town means to you.
Small towns offer something completely different from the shopping experience that you'll find online or at a large mall, which can be pretty sterile at times. What we have here is an opportunity to talk to a sole proprietor, to go right up to the owner of a building, of a small business, and find out what they're about and why what they have to offer to their customers is unique and will enrich their lives.
Malcolm, in the green room, you talked about your dad. He was at a printing manufacturing.
That's right. He ran a print shop.
And so how did he orchestrate along the assembly lines and manage people? What did you learn from him? Tell our audience more about that.
You know, he could run absolutely every machine in the print shop. He was a master linotype operator, which no one has seen in this day and age, mm-hmm. but it's a Rube Goldberg type of
machine. And what did you pick up from that you're using every day? What did you pick up from dad that you're using every day?
Oh, that, you know, you need to have patience with the people and the things that you're working with, that there's always an answer that you can get to.
Malcolm, this town has one of the best holiday parades in the country. For people who don't know Westchester, tell us a little bit about the richness of Westchester.
We do indeed have, at the beginning of December, on the first Friday of December, the Christmas parade. This past year brought some 40,000 people into Westchester. The weather was perfect, and the parade was very, very exciting.
Malcolm, you have literally been smiling this entire interview as you talk about who you are, what you do. Why? What's so special about, what makes your day special?
It's going out and meeting so many different people of so many different walks of life. But more importantly, it's that we're seeing recognition on a daily basis that we're doing things well. There was a time when it was doom and gloom in downtown Westchester. Now we're the recipient of the Great American Main Street Award, the first community in Pennsylvania to get that in nearly 20 years. And it gives me a sense of of accomplishment.
Malcolm, what is the website address for the Westchester Business Improvement District? The website address?
It is downtownwestchester.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Downtownwestchester.com.
We've been speaking with Malcolm Johnstone, Executive Director of Westchester Business Improvement District, back in a moment. And your name and organization is?
My name is Beth Harper Brilia, and I'm with the Chester County Community Foundation.
And what's your role in the organization?
My role is to build the charitable funds that we hold in trust and to help our donors make smart grant-making decisions.
So this is a community organization, and when you raise money, where's the money go to? What's the money go to?
The money goes to all variety of charities and causes throughout Chester County and throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. How young were you when you had your heartstrings tug at? What was going on in your own childhood?
I was very young. I have a sister who's a special needs child. She is younger than me. I'm one of six. I'm number four. And I watch my parents work very closely with my sister and engage her in all sorts of different activities for children of special needs. This was back in the 50s, so there weren't a whole lot of those types of things. And then I volunteered as well with those special needs. So the ambition to be in charitable work was with me from the start.
What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
What I do today is I actually took a tour as an accountant for a while, and so I have a financial background as well. And so my work with the donors is to understand, by building relationships with them, what they're really interested in, what is the charitable causes that they would like to support, and to help them determine the best way to structure that financially, as well as to also help them identify the charities that are doing the best work in this county or beyond this county to help accomplish what they'd like to do with their philanthropic dollars.
Well, the good thing is your job is 9 to 5. You come in at 9, you leave at 5, you don't have to work weekends, right?
No, that's not the case at all, because philanthropy generally happens outside of what I would call the normal 9 to 5 work hours, and it's really not an issue. I will have to tell you that my busiest morning is generally Monday morning, mm-hmm. because Sunday night is when a lot of people are thinking philanthropically.
Gotcha. What's the website address?
It's chescocf.org.
Let me have that one more time.
chescocf.org.
And your name again is?
Beth Harper Brilia.
And this has been your Business Spotlight. And your name is?
Rob Cola.
And the organization is?
Doyle Alliance Group.
And I understand that you have a special approach to help employers and employees get the most from their employee benefits.
Yeah, we're in the business of eliminating employee benefits waste.
So I understand that you mentioned to me that employees have a card to purchase health care, and that neither the employees nor the employers know the best providers and where to get the best prices. And what are you doing about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so what most executives don't realize is that their employees have a card in their wallet that they're walking around with that they can go out and spend $100 or $1 million of the employer's money.
So, and the real problem is that neither the employees nor the employers know where to get the best providers or where to get the best prices, because it's all blind information at this point.
Well, the issue is there's a lot of waste in the employee benefit system, particularly with medical coverage within the insurance carriers as well as within the provider community. Our job is to eliminate that waste.
How do you go about doing that?
Well, many innovative solutions. One of them is looking at different funding sources, also looking at different insurance companies' sources as well.
So you're able to help identify the proper providers, as well as you mentioned to us earlier that there's certain kind of captive situations where people can get involved with specialty insurance companies.
Right.
You know all about this stuff.
Yeah,
huh?
we're doing cutting-edge things, Herb, and one of the benefits of what we do is the employer gets a lot more information, so they know what's driving their costs, they know how to manage it now going forward, because right now they're really looking inside of a black box with what they're paying in insurance.
Wow, it ends up betting every Friday. I mean, the employees get more than the employers end up with better. What's the website address of this organization?
DoyleAllianceGroup.com.
Let me have that one more time.
DoyleAllianceGroup.com.
And we've been speaking with Rob Cola, president of Doyle Alliance Group. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Bob Rigg, CEO of the Rigg Darlington Group. Bob, what is the Rigg Darlington Group? What are you guys doing?
Well, we're an organization that helps our clients manage their property casualty insurance and their employee benefits.
Interesting. And how large or how small is this organization?
We have 21 employees and do about $40 million a year.
All right. And where are you from originally?
We're in the large town of Elverson, Pennsylvania.
All right. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have three siblings, two brothers and one sister.
And where were you in the pecking order?
I was the oldest.
You were the oldest. Uh-huh. And what would that do to you, being the oldest?
Well, it taught you a responsibility at an early age.
Give me an example. How were you responsible at an early age?
Well, my two kid brothers were 10 and 14 years younger than I was, yeah. And you became a surrogate parent in a lot of ways, including changing diapers.
So did your parents tell you to do that, or did you just sort of like take on that responsibility?
Well, when you were left with the kids and mom and dad were out and somebody needed to be changed, mm-hmm. It got done.
Gotcha. So you take responsibility. Christine?
Yeah, you were quite a bit older than two of your siblings, two of your younger brothers, and you described in the green room, you were being facetious, Elverson's a pretty small town in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
So what was the risk you talked about living in the country in such a small town?
Well, Elverson was a town of, in those days, 250 people and 25,000 chickens, so the risks were not what we would think of today, but if you're out running around in the countryside, there were numerous risks you could face.
So when did it start to show up that you saw the risks in looking after your siblings? I mean, older brothers can change diapers, but they don't necessarily look out for their siblings in the way that they protect them in that way. What did you see that others didn't see?
Well, I'm not sure I was clairvoyant in any way, but Elverson is right alongside of the Blue Rocks, and the Blue Rocks raise a lot of copperheads. So we learned very early if you were going to walk out down the train track or you were going to be anywhere, you could run into copperheads and any other risk.
That's quite a picture you're painting. I'm imagining if I'm one of your clients, there's probably copperheads out there that I don't see. How do you help them mitigate those risks?
Well, what we face on an ongoing basis today is there's an awful lot of complicated issues in the coming from the tort system and our courts, whether it be on the employee benefits side, implementing a good wellness program. It's difficult for folks to understand how to improve their situation.
Gotcha, Peter.
Bob, in the green room, I asked you a little bit about your grandfather, and your eyes lit up and you smiled. Tell me what influence he had on you.
Well, my grandfather was a small community banker in Elverson, surprisingly. And he was a tremendous influence on me and left the impression on me how important community was and what community banks can really do in this country.
Ethan?
So beyond taking care of your brothers and sisters when you're young, you started working at a young age. Tell us a little about I think you mentioned that you were selling cherries. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, in a small town, you get involved pretty early. But wanted a bicycle, and if I was going to get a bicycle, the only way I was going to get it was by earning the money to buy it. So my grandfather had a surplus of cherries, and we had a wagon, and therefore I just simply went door-to-door selling cherries at a very early age.
Mm-hmm. How do you think that prepared you for later in life? Selling cherries at a young age.
Well, I learned to deal with rejection at an early age. No question about that.
Mm-hmm. I understand that that you're quite philanthropic and you give back to the community in a variety of different ways. And we have with us a young lady by the name of Beth Harper Brilia, who is, Beth, what's your role with the Chester County Community Foundation?
So my role with the Chester County Community Foundation is to work with the individuals and families who establish charitable funds at the foundation.
And I understand that you work very closely with Bob Rigg. How do you work with Bob?
So Bob is both chair of our board as well as one of our fund holders here at the foundation, and Bob and his wife and family are very generous, and I work as a philanthropic advisory to them.
What do you mean he's generous? What are you talking about?
Bob loves to support community causes, especially those of youth.
How does he go about supporting those causes? What are you talking about?
My my reaction is that Bob supports those causes because he wants to share with others what he wants to give back to others.
How does he do it? Is it time or is it money?
It's both, actually.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
So Bob is very generous with his time. He serves on a number of different boards, including the YMCA board here in Brandywine mm-hmm. Valley.
So you're giving both time and money. That's sort of interesting. Don't you think you should be spending your time just running the business?
Well, there's no question. My family has been very blessed. Uh-huh. And once you recognize that, you have to give back to others.
What do you mean you have to? I read the newspapers. I hear rotten things about CEOs where this one's doing this and this one's doing that. But you're telling me that you feel like you have to give back to the community in terms of time and money?
Today, the few rotten apples that are out there get the attention.
Mm-hmm.
I would propose to you that the majority of CEOs and presidents around this country get very involved in their community or get very involved in philanthropic causes and do a tremendous job in supporting others.
Well, I guess you happen to be an authority on this because you happen to deal with business owners all the time in your role running this organization, don't you?
Another blessing that I've been given is to work on a daily basis with some absolutely outstanding entrepreneurs that started with nothing and developed companies that are hundreds of employees. To see them be able to thrive and give back to the community, not only jobs, but to give back philanthropically is huge. And if I can help them play a role in that, I consider that
so
tremendous.
You're telling me on one hand that you happen to be involved giving back to the community in terms of time and money. And my bet is you're running into some of your clients at these different organizations, whether you're serving on boards or making donations, where on one hand they're a client, on the other hand they're serving on the board with you or as a donor with you?
A number of my clients would tell you that I've helped them feel pain in many regards that way.
Because you're going to them to help, you're saying to them, listen, even though you're my client, I need you to donate to this charity?
Donate to the charity, but also get involved. You truly need to be able to understand what the charity does, what they're trying to achieve before you can donate. It's more than just writing a check. And I strongly believe in giving your time. I think, for example, I'm involved in Good Works here in Chester County, and until I got in on a monthly basis into the homes in Coatesville or various underprivileged families.
What do you mean into the homes? What are you talking about?
Well, with Good Works, you make homes safer, warmer, and drier by rehabbing the home. And until
you're the CEO of a fancy, dancy organization. What are you talking about you're doing?
I help our church get work on once a month going into underprivileged homes in Coatesville with Good Works and try to rehab those homes and make them a safer place.
Are you telling me that you're actually going into some bad communities, some difficult communities, and you're lifting a hammer or moving things or doing things, physical labor?
Well, I'll debate with you if it's a bad community, but I will tell you that there's a lot of wonderful folks out there that are underprivileged and are waiting for a helping hand to get to the next spot.
Wait a minute. Perhaps I'm misinformed. So you're telling me that there are communities that might be where the roof might be a little leaky or whatever, but it's got nothing to do with the spirit in the community in that neighborhood?
Absolutely not. The number of families that we see that are every bit of loving and caring as any family that I've seen in my little town of Elverson, there's no question.
I stand corrected. I appreciate your insight there. Christine?
Yeah, this just reminds me of something that came up in the green room. Jim, you had the perfect question. Maybe you could ask that now. And
so was it your mother or father that had a big heart?
Well, there again, that's a little bit like asking what is your favorite child. But I would say that my mom was the one that had the heart and my dad had the discipline. And it really takes a combination of both to be able to achieve.
It also takes a combination to be able to make meaning out of charitable work. I think that the heart and the dedication come through.
What is the website address of this organization known as the Rig Darlington Group?
Quite simply, rdgins.com.
Let me have that one more time.
rdgins.com.
And Beth, what's the website address of your organization?
ChescoCF.org.
Let me have that one more time.
ChescoCF.org.
We've been speaking with Bob Rigg, who's the CEO of the Rigg Darlington Group here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break. I'd like to introduce Dr. Joyce Russell, who is the dean of the Villanova School of Business. And I understand that the Villanova School of Business recently received some very special recognition. What's that all about?
That's right. We were ranked number one for undergraduate business school in the nation, as well as in the top 10 for our graduate programs, our online programs, and our part-time programs.
You're ranked number one. What's it take to do that? What's it take to achieve the number one ranking?
I think you have to have really strong faculty. We recruit great students, and we have really good outcomes, so that over 99% of our students get jobs within 6 months. They have great salaries. They have great signing bonuses, and so the outcomes are really important.
What do you like about your job? I mean, what's it like to be a dean? What do you enjoy about what you're doing?
Well, I absolutely love Villanova School of Business because it's this is a mission-based school. So our view is that we are not just another business school. We're a business school that has purpose, and our purpose is building business leaders for a better world. So whatever we can do to have them not only have really strong academic skills and professional skills, but to make a difference in the world today.
Do any of your previous student graduates ever come back to the school?
Absolutely. We have some here today who have been talking about some of the successes they've had. We have a lot of CEOs from the School of Business who have gone on to show that not only can they build a very successful business, whether it's in finance or accounting, marketing, et cetera, but that they can actually have an impact in terms of the world and making it a better place.
Wow. So you have students that have graduated that are CEOs of businesses that come back and help influence the kids and really make a difference, not just in terms of building a business, but purpose. What's the website address of the Villanova School of Business?
It's business.villanova.edu.
Let me have that one more time.
Business.villanova.edu.
And we've been speaking with Dean Russell, Villanova School of Business. And your name is?
Ethan Milrod.
And the name of the organization?
GoTo.
GoTo. Why is the name of the organization GoTo, and what do you do for your clients?
Well, we act as a single technology source for our clients, kind of like the go-to guys and girls.
And what kind of technologies do you help your clients with?
We provide our clients with the full range of technology solutions, anything that is voice, data, or video related.
Why would they need one source in order to do this stuff?
Well, we found that over time, clients have lots of so-called go-to vendors, but they're truly not go-to vendors. They're biased, they're subjective, and oftentimes business owners are pulling their hair out trying to bring technology together. They really need a company to bring it all together for them.
So because there's so many different competing kinds of technologies and conflicting technologies, and if you do this, you can't do that, you're telling me you'd like to come in as an unbiased source and try to give them a hand with that stuff?
Well, we want to let business owners focus on their business and what's important to them and not have to worry about the technology. We'll bring that all together.
Are there times that you come in as a consultant, as a second opinion, rather than the guy that's actually selling them the stuff or integrating the stuff?
Always, always. We have to understand their business so we can apply technology, not just throw technology up against the wall to see what sticks.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't your job to make the most money where you want to sell them whatever you can make the most money on?
We're never thinking about what we're going to make the most money on. We're thinking about what's the best fit for the client. The money comes later on.
So you're concerned about the relationship with the client.
Exactly.
So I guess the other problem is, like, there's so many emerging technologies. You got to be on top of all these tech. Do you have any partners in the business?
I have two business partners. Yeah,
figures it, because this is not something you could be able to do yourself. There's so many changing technologies. What's the website address of this organization?
It's GoToTech. That's G-O, the number two, T-E-C-H.com.
Let me have that one more time.
GoToTech.com.
Excellent. And your name is?
Ethan Milrod.
And this has been your Business Spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Michael DeHaven, shareholder at Rayner & Company. Michael, what is Rayner & Company?
Rayner & Company is a public accounting firm.
Uh-huh. How large or how small is this organization?
We have 25 professionals.
25 professionals. And where are you from originally?
I grew up in Berwyn.
Berwyn. How many brothers and sisters?
I have three siblings. I'm the second.
The second of four. Uh-huh. Ethan.
Michael, you mentioned earlier that you played a lot of sports when you were younger. What sports did you play, and what was your common role on the teams that you played on?
I played a variety of sports growing up. I swam, I played baseball when I was younger, and then when I got older in high school, I played football and I wrestled. The roles I played, I think I was a leader of the team. I seemed to get along with everyone, and I didn't mind taking a backseat to try to make everyone better.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean you were the leader of the team? Jim, didn't you have a question there?
Yeah, Michael, what position did you play in football?
I played offensive line and defensive end is what I played.
So defensive end, pretty tenacious. And how did that evolve into public accounting and auditing? And I don't envision somebody doing my taxes as a defensive end.
Jim, you could say I chase. I'm very active in business development. So you could make the correlation between chasing quarterbacks and chasing new business for the firm.
Mm-hmm. Peter, didn't you have a question there?
Yeah, Michael, in the green room, you mentioned that you consider yourself lucky because your work has become your mission. And you also mentioned there's a certain amount of faith involved in your work. Tell us what it means to you.
Sure. I love what I do. I love seeing my clients succeed. That's very rewarding to me, especially some of the businesses that I serve are multi-generational and enjoy working with different parts of the families and helping them continue that success.
But this issue about faith, what do you talk? Faith to me means church, religion. Are you faith? Are you? Is that what you were all about?
I do think, Herb, I believe I've been given a lot of gifts, and I believe that it's important for me to give back, to share those gifts that I've been given.
How's faith come into your business?
I want to be a good example for my employees, and I want to, leading by example, I want to be, first of all, treating people with compassion, kindness, respect, and because I want them to treat our clients in the same way.
All right, wait a second. So when you were talking about when you were a kid and you played all those different sports, mm-hmm. and you spoke earlier about the fact that you didn't need, all the hurrahs, you didn't need to focus on you. That doesn't sound like the leader. That were you the best sports player in the different sports? Well, I'm trying to figure out more about that. What do you mean?
No, I don't think that I was the best. I think I was good enough to make the team successful and make a contribution.
So how'd you make the team successful?
I tried to make those who played with me better. I tried to, if it was football, I was blocking for someone. I was contributing and by making tackles. If it was in basketball, it was always rebounding and pushing the ball out to someone to make a shot.
How do you do that as an accountant?
Well, I think I work well with my partners in helping serve our clients. We work very well together. We're a great team, and we believe that by working together serves all of our clients in the best interest.
So, and sometimes you're blocking, sometimes you're running. I mean, exactly. It's like, with your clients, it sounds like you're really serving as a teammate, not just an accountant.
It does. They call me at all hours of the day, and I don't mind that. I really, if something is going wrong, if they're having an issue, I find joy in trying to help
them. Go ahead.
I
want them to call me is what you were going
exactly,
to say.
Yes.
Why do you want them to call you? What are you, crazy so you can bill them for your time?
No, I just want to see them succeed. And if they're having
issues. I believe
issue,
that. I wish the public could see your face right now. Okay. Christine?
Yeah, let's tell us about your dad. He was a cop?
Yes. My dad was a police officer in the town where I grew up.
And your mom was a stay-at-home mom, you said, until the fourth grade. And then she went back to school to become a chemist?
She did. She had a chemistry degree and went back and got her master's and then jumped back in the working world at that time.
Interestingly, when I think of Berwyn Mainline, you grew up with a lot of means.
We did, but we all had to work hard. My mom had four kids in 5 years, so we all had to work hard and have jobs so that we could contribute towards our college costs.
So from a young age, you started planning and preparing for your future and taking care of the resources within your family?
I did. I saved. We all saved. To make sure that, you know, that there was money available for spending costs.
So he's also a planner. You can understand how he's using the same personality traits that he used on himself to save money and to plan his financial with his clients.
Al. Michael, you described one of the most influential people in your life was your grandfather. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Sure, Al. My grandparents had a restaurant in Berwyn. It was called Oliva's. It was open 6 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I worked, starting in middle school, I worked with my grandfather on Saturday mornings. I would help him open the shop.
How young were you?
I was probably fourth or fifth grade.
So you were probably about 10 years old. And what were you doing?
I was cooking food. I was waiting tables, washing dishes.
How old were you?
8 or 9, 10.
So you're 8 or 9. You're cooking breakfast. You're serving the tables. And you're washing dishes. What'd you learn then that you're using now?
My grandparents had an intense loyalty with their customer base. There were people that came in every day, and it was because of the way they treated others. They treated them with kindness, respect. They enjoyed understanding what their families were doing.
What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
I try to use that same philosophy with my clients.
It sounds to me like it really is what you're using. Otherwise, you wouldn't want them to call you to let you know what's going on.
It's true.
Beth, what kind of question do you have?
Earlier in the green room, Michael, you mentioned the importance of making connections both professionally and philanthropically. Can you expand on that for me?
Sure. I started at an early age. I had some family members who were successful in business in Chester County, and they were very helpful to me in networking at a younger age. And so over the years, I built a lot of connections, and I also enjoy helping make connections specifically for the Community Foundation recently in bringing people who may be philanthropic to start funds here. But just anyone really in business, if someone's out of work, trying to help them find work.
You actually, I don't know if you know this, but in the green room you said that the connections you had gave you confidence.
Yes.
So how do the connections you make for your clients give them confidence?
One example would be I have in terms of someone needs a banker, someone needs an attorney, someone needs a financial advisor, I would gauge it based on personality, who I think that they would mesh well with the best, and help them make those connections so they could be successful.
Peter?
Michael, through almost everything you say, I hear family over and over again, and I just wonder, is the business like a family, and are your clients your family as well?
They are. Start with the business. We have a great, vibrant group who get along very well. We like to have fun, so we have a lot of activities we do outside of work. But we, in the end, we work hard together.
Michael, you said that, or we described you, I think, as having a calming presence. But let's not just get lost in the soft side of you. You were also quite the competitor. You said growing up, you competed with your siblings, and you liked making money. How young did that show up, and why do you like that?
I did. I had a lot of jobs starting at a young age, and enjoyed having money in my pocket. And it goes today. I am very conservative. I'm a saver, but I also look. There's this anxiety I have of making sure that we have enough work for everyone in our firm and continue to grow that. So I'm always out, just out there meeting people and developing relationships, which I think will turn into new business eventually.
Ethan?
Michael, you're a dad, right?
I am.
You have three boys?
Three boys, yes.
What would you say is the similarity between being a CEO and being a dad?
At times, you want to be their friend, and same goes with my boys and with the people that work for me, but you also have to be a leader, and you have to be tough at times, which means telling them things that they don't want to hear or they don't want to do. But in the end, if you do that, I believe that you'll get the respect and they'll respond well.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, that's that competitive, that ability to say, hey, this is what we need to do, and I'll help guide you there and lead you to it.
Yeah. Michael, it's interesting. You have both sides of you. On one hand, you know, I can understand you're a real steady hand and you want to connect people. On the other hand, you have a pretty clear sense of what's right and wrong. It goes back to that faith. What's the website address of this organization known as Rainer & Company?
It's Rainer.com, RAINER.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Rainer.com.
RAINER.
Yes.
.com. We've been speaking with Michael DeHaven, chairholder of Rainer & Company, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. learn more about our executive leaders. Back in a moment, right after this break. And your name and company is?
Peter Snelling with Merrill Lynch.
And Peter, what do you do for a living?
Well, our group provides wealth management and retirement planning services for companies, their employees, and executives.
So you're helping companies, their employees, and their executives with their wealth management. And what kind of stuff does that encompass?
Well, we focus on goals-based wealth management, which really means trying to find what is most important to people about their money and then proposing solutions to meet their needs.
When you say helping them with their money, so it's like, so they're planning for marriage and they're planning for anniversaries and weddings.
Educating children, retirement, helping
the whole life
parents, helping
money.
Children.
What's the website address of this organization?
That is ml.com.
And let me have your name one more time.
Peter Snelling with Merrill Lynch.
Peter Snelling with Merrill Lynch. And the website address one last time?
Is ml.com.
ml.com. And this has been your Business Spotlight. We'll be back in a moment. Want help building your business with help from the show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Hope Cohen. We'd like to introduce Kim Cunningham, co-founder of Skidgetal. What is Skidgetal?
Skidgetal is a digital marketing agency in Westchester. We work with small to mid-sized businesses with their advertising and marketing needs.
Uh-huh. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Horsham, Pennsylvania.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have two siblings. I'm the oldest.
Uh-huh. How young were you when you started making money?
I started my first job when I was 13 years old.
Doing what?
I was a waitress at a nursing home.
Peter, didn't you have a question regarding that?
Kim, you also mentioned that working with the seniors took patience. Tell us how learning patience has helped you, learning at a young age has helped you in business.
Well, when I started working with senior citizens, a lot of what I had to do was find out truly what each of their needs were. Some might like their soup hot, some might have dairy allergies. And now I think I can apply the importance of finding out the needs of the businesses that I work with.
Mm-hmm. Kim, you worked at the senior home at 13, but you really started out wanting to be an entrepreneur at a much earlier age. There was something about, you told us earlier in the green room about selling toys. Tell us a little about that.
My mother always tells the story that when I was in elementary school and I would get bored of my toys, I would take them out on the front lawn with a megaphone and yell, "Toys for sale," and I would just sell my things.
So you're a natural entrepreneur and a natural promoter standing on the front lawn selling your toys with a megaphone.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what do you do for a living nowadays?
I help other businesses with their marketing.
So you naturally understand promotion and commerce. It's interesting how our childhoods come through in our adult lives. Who's got the next
Kim,
question?
Kim, you talked about a special mentor in your life. Can you describe that again?
My grandfather was always a mentor to me.
And how did you interact with him? What was that?
He started a business when he was young with his father, so I kind of grew up in the industry of automotive and saw how a small business could grow into a large one.
And what did you do with him?
I hung out in the showroom. I talked to customers. I was kind of always just hanging around.
Mm-hmm. So you see a connection between automobiles and digital?
I don't necessarily think the industry is connected, but the helping small businesses with growth is what's connecting that.
Hmm. Interesting. It's interesting how you were working with your grandfather and you learned about building your own business. Christine?
Yeah. Kim, you actually got that home in a nursing home because you were kind of bored. You said being at home, taking care of your siblings, you wanted to get out. So I've heard the word bored a few times from you already. How does getting bored serve you well in the business that you do today?
I really like to feel useful. And I like that when I do feel useful, it makes other people happy or it helps them with needs that they might have.
That makes a lot of sense. And it seems to me the attention span of the world has really become pretty small. And so don't you have to help your clients capture a pretty limited amount of attention from your clients? I mean, from their customers? Or,
yeah,
is there a connection there?
I mean, a lot of what I do is education to business owners because they really don't understand how marketing has changed and morphed into a digital facet. It's always been newspaper, print, digital marketing, or direct mail, and now business owners are faced with social media and email marketing and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Al?
Is there a difference in your work experience between dealing with the 20-year-olds and the 50-year-old business owners and the 50-year-old being very...
All right, yes. Is there a difference?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it goes back to education where instead of me coming in saying, you know, what do you need for social media? I have to explain what social media is and how important it is to business.
Mm-hmm, Kim, you strike me as a person who's always had courage, and I wonder where you learned that from. And is boldness something that's an advantage in your business?
Yes, and people would probably say I'm pretty bold. But courage, I think, came from my mother at an early age where she always pushed me to take things to the next level. If I wanted money, go get a job. If you want to go out, get your chores done early. So she really always encouraged me to do my best and pushed me.
What did your mother do for a living?
She was a stay-at-home mom.
So your mom, who was a stay-at-home mom, embedded in you a personality trait that made you a successful businesswoman?
She did. She always supported my efforts as an entrepreneur, whether it was handing me that microphone to, you know, sell the toys or take me to job interviews or just teach me how important dependability is.
Wait a minute. Wait. You learned from your mom about dependability and you learned about support. And am I correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how's that affected you?
Well, I pride myself, me and my business partner, Shanna, pride our business. You know, the two words we use all the time is trust and integrity. And that's really important in this business, especially dealing with the 50-year-old business owners who don't understand necessarily what we do. They need to be able to trust us.
So your mom, who was a housewife, who you knew you could depend on and who supported you, gave you a pretty clear sense that you really do need to bring integrity, dependability to your business, which is the reason your clients come to you and they stick with you, I bet?
Absolutely. We don't have contracts with our clients. It's month to month. If we're doing what we're supposed to do, you're going to stay with us. So that's how we build our business.
How'd you build your business?
We started with one client, and now we work with probably 30 to 40 different local businesses in the area.
And the personality trait you learned from your mom about being dependable is the reason they keep coming back over and over again, because you're not forcing them to do a contract.
Partially, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what'd you get from your grandfather that's helping out nowadays?
Just determination and tenacity, and he put everything into his business so he could provide a great life for his family, and I really respected that.
When you say he put everything into his business, what are you talking about?
He was always at work, But when he came home, he, you know, made time for everybody.
So your middle name is put your all into it.
Put your all into it.
Yeah,
yes.
You're not somebody to do things half. What's the website address of your organization?
It's skigital.com.
How do you spell that?
SKIGITAL.com.
We've been speaking with Kim Cunningham, co-founder of Skigital, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Peter, can you give us a rundown on who else we've had the opportunity
to speak
with?
Sure, Herb. I want to first thank Beth Harper Brilliant and Karen Simmons, Chester County Community Foundation, for hosting us today. And beginning with Malcolm Johnstone, the Executive Director of the Westchester Business District, then Bob Rigg, Chairman of the Rigg Darlington Group, followed by Michael DeHaven, shareholder Rayner & Company, and Kim Cunningham, CEO and co-founder of Skigital.
I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Jim Dugan, Newmark Knight Frank, Peter Snelling, Merrill Lynch, Ethan Milrod, GoTo, Al Danish, Doyle Alliance Group, Beth Harper Brilliant, Chester County Community Foundation, and Christine Miles, CI Square, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, I got one other question here. So this Chester County Community Foundation, tell us a little bit more about what it does and what it's all about.
Sure. So our tagline is connecting people who care with causes that matter. And we do that through holding charitable donor advised funds with individuals, families, and other nonprofit organizations. And we work to provide advice to the families, both on structuring their charitable gift as well as their gifting to the charities that they would like to support.
So you're getting involved with organizations, with people.
Oh, it's all about relationships, and that's the fun part of the job. It's really building relationships with people so we can really understand with their philanthropic dollars what they'd like to support, what charities they care most about.
And so when you're getting involved with these organizations, with these people, you're understanding who they, so you're representing a number of organizations where they can give money to?
Well, we actually represent the families and individuals who gift the philanthropic dollars to us, but there are a number of charitable organizations that we work with who are seeking charitable funds so that they can best accomplish their missions to serve others.
Huh. And you're working with these individuals, these families, year after year after year?
Yes, we do. We work multi-generationally with the families. So we might have a one generation set up a fund at the Community Foundation, and then we work with successor generations.
So this is an ongoing relationship you have with these families.
It really is an ongoing relationship.
And you're also aware of all the different nonprofit organizations that are out there. There's new ones popping up and other ones changing?
Correct. You know, we work within Chester County, so we were best knowledgeable about the charities that work within the county, but we also gift outside the county to nonprofits, and we are aided by resources that are available in the public space for that as well.
So you're constantly on one hand keeping aware and working with the donors, and on the other hand you're constantly aware and coming up with the new charities and stay in touch with how the charities are shifting.
Correct. And I always tell people on a good day, I get to connect people who care with causes that matter. And that's a lot of fun.
Wow. And it's always changing though, isn't it? It's like nothing's ever changing.
Uh-huh. And that's what keeps the job fun, but it's also why people might need philanthropic advice as they're trying to decide the best use of the funds that they have to support human and mission related causes.
Because things are always changing.
Things are changing.
Uh-huh. And that's interesting that you're like in the middle of all that stuff. Well, let me have your website address again.
Sure. It's chescocf.org.
Well, let me have that one more time.
chescocf.org.
And your name again is?
Beth Harper Brilliant.
All right. And this is Herb Cohen with Executive Leaders Radio. Again, thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, it's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, thank you for joining us today and have a nice day. Bye-bye.